You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
Don't you find it weird how a guy that talented doesn't have bigger nights? Like 2-3, 2-2, 1-3, 1-4. It's like a goal. It's consistent. It's awesome. But you rarely walk out and say, man, he was dominant.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Mike Johnson's in here. The O-Dog is... We don't know where the O-Dog is. He's somewhere in Mexico. He's not going to be back anytime soon. We believe he'll be back next Monday, but who knows?
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Enjoying a March break. Because he deserves a March break.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he not deserve a March break? Your kids March breaking whole nine at this point, or what?
They are in Collingwood skiing. So that's the extent of their...
But they got the time off, right?
They have 2 weeks off. 2 weeks.
You go.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
At their school, they get the extra week.
I know what that means.
They start earlier, don't
no,
they?
No. They just get extra time.
There's just extra time. Put two and two together, Noodles.
They end earlier.
Oh, yeah, everything.
They end about 3 weeks early.
This is a Toronto inner city thing. You guys are looking at each other. Like, well, it's private school.
It's a private school, exactly.
Okay, so private school, that's what happens? In public In public school, like they
the
just
more you
get
pay, the
week.
Less they go. It's kind of how it goes.
That's I don't know. I saw Jerry D on Twitter. Kind of, he didn't take a shot because he's a former teacher.
Yes.
He said, you know, enjoy the time off with your kids. And people thought he was taking a shot at teachers.
No.
And he's like, oh, just so you know, I was a teacher. And as a parent, I'm glad when they're going back. So I wasn't taking a shot at teachers.
True story. Jerry D.
Yes.
Went on a blind date with my sister. Like 20 years ago.
No way.
She's a teacher too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now Jerry lives around the corner. Our kids have played volleyball together. He lives
two seconds
away from me. But
so yeah. What went wrong?
She wasn't that into him.
Wasn't really? Vibing no. Jerry D.
And then he's a funny. Yeah. He's a massive sports fan. Even
yes.
more so back then.
Really?
And then I think once he found out that her brother played for the Leafs.
Yeah.
He was like, just wanted to talk about hockey the whole night.
That's not going to cut it.
And my sister's like. Yeah, I don't
You're
think so.
Done. You're a super
I don't
fan.
Think so.
Take a lap. That's
not gonna
fun.
Cut
and
it.
Now my sister's husband coaches Jerry's daughter in volleyball.
That's awesome.
Well, you see Nick Foles is officially signing in Jacksonville. We all knew this was coming, but now the money's out and the contract details.
Mm-hmm.
4 years, $88 million. And Adam Schefter reporting that his sources told him $50 million guaranteed.
Wow.
So a couple of big playoff runs.
Nice.
And Nick Foles is getting paid, man.
Timing is everything.
Really is.
So you look at this, Hayes, are people going to be happy with this deal? Going to be happy he's going to give them good value on $22 million a year?
I think if you're in Jacksonville, it's an upgrade over Blake
Bortles. It's an upgrade, no question. But is he going to be what he was in the playoffs for Philly?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
When he's been the starter in Philly, when he's had a long run of consecutive games, his performance has not been as good as when he's been thrust in there last minute. Couple games in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Remember his first go around with Chip Kelly and he got paid and then he was playing and it he basically retired. He was like, I'm out of the league.
He stopped and then he came back and
here's what I'll say. You get paid, you are front and center. And you don't live up to that contract, man, people are gonna be throwing darts. You're gonna be cashing checks, but like he's being paid to be a difference maker now.
Low and bar in Jacksonville to
absolutely.
Get over.
Right.
But that's So they're going to be expecting him to take them to the promised land.
They got a lot of talent on that team. Like they really underperformed a year ago, mm-hmm. but 2 years ago they were 13-3 and in the AFC Championship game.
But if he doesn't though, that's what they're looking. Okay, we got the quarterback now. We've got the guy. You better and for 22 million a year? Is that what it works
22
out?
Million.
50 guaranteed is the number. I mean, the guaranteed money is more important than just about anything.
Okay, so for 50 sheets you better bring it home. And if you don't, you're going to get the gate.
Absolutely. But that money's going in his pocket anyway.
Yeah. No matter what.
And he had leverage, right? At that quarterbacking position, where it's the most scrutinized position in American sports, the most important one based on the amount of money that's mm-hmm. pumped into the whole system.
Right.
And he won a Super Bowl. And, when he took over for Wentz last year, he played fine. They didn't lose in New Orleans because of Nick Foles.
No.
That's not why they lost. So, you know,
how many
we'll
starting
see.
Quarterbacks are in the NFL? Like the caliber, 18?
Yeah,
to 22?
I would say. I think there's even it's,
not even
it's tiered differently than
right.
that. Like I think there's 8 to 10 truly.
So where's
elite.
Nick Foles?
I think he's somewhere in the middle
15?
Until he proves otherwise. Yeah,
ish.
Yeah, he's somewhere right. in the middle. He's Kirk Cousins with yeah. a quarterback with mm-hmm. with a Super Bowl ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now he's getting paid like Kirk Cousins. Not as much money, but a lot of money.
Kirk got all guaranteed.
He played his hand beautifully.
What's his, you like that?
Yeah, that's his
You
thing.
Like that?
He likes it.
I do.
He really
much.
Likes it. So Nick Foles officially locking in Jacksonville. We know Antonio Brown traded to Oakland. We'll get into that later in the afternoon. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. Tampa Bay in town. Where's the weakness? Like, where do you hope to expose this team? If you're the Maple Leafs tonight, or any team going to play, you know, that's going to play Tampa in a playoff series where they're lapping the NHL, they're the best team we've seen in years in terms of the regular season. Where do you expose this team?
I this would just be my unofficial, but if I'm the Leafs, I go right at them, like skill for skill. I see teams try to defend because they don't have the depth of Tampa Bay. I see teams try to, you know, play a little different game. Like, hey, this is, you know, a little bit scary. Like, mm-hmm. let's – if you play a safe game, safe as death. I think the Leafs have to go at them. Was it last game or the game before? Well, both games in Tampa, they've played them pretty well. The mm-hmm. one, Vasilevsky was brilliant, and then last game they beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Go at them. Like, play a skill game and let the chips fall because you have to have, to me – you know, the goaltending matches up and the skill up front doesn't matches up. I think the D is still the question mark.
Yeah, Tampa's
but
deeper
go
there.
At them. Straight at them and see what happens.
And don't take penalties.
Yeah.
That's where they will crush you.
Yeah.
Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're just throwing it around the table here. How I guess the Leafs, but really any team. How do you try to expose Tampa? You know, they're this deep, they're this talented, they're this good in every facet of the game. Where do you attack? Where do you hope to find a weakness?
I think it varies from team to team because no team is really built the same. Like Boston's got to play them differently than Toronto can. I actually think Tampa is a better matchup for Toronto than Boston. They're virtually the same style of team. They rely on a goaltender that is, I think these are probably a couple of the finalists for the Vezina here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're both outstanding goaltenders. You have to hope that the way you built your team is going to hold up against the way they've built their team. Like, this is the thing when I keep reading about, you know, people are yearning for something different from the Leafs. First of all, there's not many teams better than them in the league. Secondly, maybe most importantly, is they're built the way they're built. This is the way they have to play. They've got to skate. They've got to move the puck. They've got to be the better team offensively. I would say, you know, MJ just mentioned, like, stay out of the penalty box. I would say, like, the team that turns the puck over against a team that can run out on a track meet, like both of these teams can, is probably going to lose. Like, if you burp it up at the high in the offensive zone, you're not going to get back in time. And I think that's probably, for me, is the most key area on the ice.
Ray, everyone's very concerned about the Toronto Maple Leafs defense. And maybe with good reason, especially with the guys hurt. But if everyone was healthy, and I look at Tampa's defense, and no one's talking about that being an issue, and yes, Hedman's better than anyone Toronto has, and they have McDonough. Okay, give me Riley and Jake Gardner. I see Sergachev, Eric Saranac, Braden Coburn, Dan Girardi. That is not the who's who of defense. How come Tampa doesn't seem to have a problem with their defense, but yet everyone's worried about it with Toronto?
Well, I would say we don't know a lot about Saranac, but for a young kid, he stepped in and played mm-hmm. pretty well. I know him from the World Junior Tournament. He played there 15 times, I think, for the Czech. It was like he was there every year.
12-year-old making his debut.
Yeah. And, you know, Sergachev's a good young player, but I would match Sergachev and Dermott at mm-hmm. this stage of their careers and say, yeah, they're both really good young players that both of them have had really good spots and really not so good spots this season. That's happened to both of them. Dan Girardi is no quicker than, well, he wasn't quick 3 years ago. So that's a point that you would have to think is a exploitable point. I guess I would say, MJ, that Tampa's defense plays more as a group, top to bottom, better than Toronto's does. There are nights when Toronto's defense at times seems to come apart at the seams. they have to hope, of course, that Gardner and Dermott are back. I mean, if they're not, I mean, this is, I mean, nobody's going to lose a third of their defense and just be fine. No, nobody can sustain that.
Well, luckily for them, they have the smartest player in the history of the sport playing
for
them.
That's amazing.
You know, that would be Mitch Marner, for those wondering. And I know you've heard the clip. We played it earlier, but let's play it again. This is John Cooper, the head coach of Tampa. This isn't even a tire pumping. Like, this is a whole new engine you're inserting in Mitch Marner's, you know, confidence level. Here's what John Cooper said about Marner earlier this morning.
The one thing about Marner is he is as smart a player as this league has not only seen this year, has ever seen. And somebody that can elude defenders and do the things he does with the puck on the offensive side of it, it translates to the defensive side as well.
What do you make of that, Ray?
Two things. One I thought of immediately is, man, those lawyers can pile crap high.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thing. The second thing was, I often thought Wayne Gretzky was really stupid when he played. Like, I thought he couldn't see the game. He couldn't see the play. Until you'd go to check him, and he'd throw this pass across the ice to nobody except, oh, here came Jari Kurri walking right down Main Street with it that nobody else on the ice would see. When we get to this time of the year and other coaches are talking about other teams, I think we should start a bucket full of you-know-what. And this can be the first seed that goes in it, because there's going to be a bunch of it that comes from now till the playoffs where nobody's going to say anything negative about another player. I mean, this is over the top here. Good for Mitch. If the Leafs aren't calling him Einstein by the end of the day, I'll be disappointed in him, in their team.
Right. In the room, you've got to run with this.
Oh, for absolutely. Sure.
You have to, because, listen.
Like, why wouldn't you sit down on the plane and say, hey, Mitch, how does this thing get up in the air and stay there? Because you would know.
Right.
The smartest guy ever to play in the game.
Just throw a Rubik's Cube at him every time you walk past him. Say, you have 30 seconds to put this back together.
I mean, you know what the boys are going to be like in the room.
Oh, this is gold.
It is gold. Like, everyone talks about bulletin board material. This is, but it's just for the guys. This isn't a motivational tool that Babcock's going to use. This is what the players are going to use to tune him up on the plane, on the bus. And it'll be playful jabs. And Mitch didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong with this scenario.
This is
but it is pretty cool. And
if you were one of his assistants, Noodle, wouldn't you be? I'd be all over Cooper, like, ever, John, ever. That's a long time.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
He wouldn't escape it either. Like, well, Coop, really, that's forever?
Yeah, that seems like a bit much. I mean, listen, Marner is a very smart player. He's a very good player. But this type of reaction,
well, this is where,
it's so exaggerated.
This is where, I mean, we talk about social media in a positive light. This is where, if Wayne Gretzky ran his own Twitter account, he tweets out like a little wave sign, like, hello over here, something like that. Just a little troll. If you just cut and paste that, and Wayne Gretzky gives that a wave, saying, forget about me over here. Like
the quote tweet.
Or take a picture of yourself with your shoes on the wrong feet.
Exactly. Just a troll.
Maybe Mitch could help me find the right feet for my shoes. I read that, I'm like, man, that's laying it pretty thick.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Like, if you just said he's a really smart player, he's playing really well, no one's going to dispute that. You know, like, Babcock came out today and said of Kucherov that he's the most dangerous player in the game. And, listen, you could say it's still McDavid or it's Sid or it's Ovechkin in the office. You know, there are other players in the league. But that's not going out on a limb.
No.
Like, Kucherov is going to have 130 points.
He's going to win the heart.
It's defensible.
Yes. It's very defensible. It's very understandable. But... you know, I guess that's bad. Like you said, right? You know, these guys, hopefully they meet in the second round. I think Tampa probably feels pretty comfortable that they will be waiting in the second round. It's just a matter of whether or not the Maple Leafs can get through Boston. But they're all playing nice. They're all going to play nice right now.
Well, it's funny the way that, you know, last year we were, you know, like, losing our minds because we knew, like, from November 1st that Boston and Toronto were going to play, it seemed like, didn't it? It seemed like forever.
Yep.
And even though it's the same now, it feels a little different to me. Like, I don't know why, Tampa's lapping the field, and maybe it was because there were times that, you know, a couple of times that Montreal got close, in particular when they lost that Saturday game. They could have moved to, I think, within 1 point at the time. And that seems like 100 years ago. But it's the same thing. We knew two of these three teams were going to meet in the first round, so there's no surprise. But now we get into this time, and it's like, man, I just kind of want it all to start. You know, this last month, this is great, and these games are little teasers, and they play again in Toronto late in the year. I know we got that one, but I get to the point here. I'm like, okay, I want to get going here. I want to see the real stuff start.
I agree. It's like a month yesterday or a month today. Either way, my thing is, I'd like to kind of see it, and I don't think it's going to happen, but some animosity. Like, look at Vegas-Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like, I mean, not sounds, but it looks like they may end up matching up. Now, that's a different scenario, but if you're the Leafs, like, we always talk about it, statement games. You know, one game is maybe worth more than the other. It's 82. It's one of 82. But if you want to make a statement on a Monday night coming back off of a Western trip, here it is. It's right in front of you.
This is the team, man.
Go.
Tampa is the team that everyone concedes. That is the platform
game. That's the benchmark right
there.
They
played well against them.
And
that's
they
the
have
thing,
played
right?
Well.
They have to like their chances if they play their game.
But if you're trying to, and I know it, you're not looking past the Boston Bruins, and so you shouldn't, because that's a coin flip. But why not make a statement and say, okay, we like the way our team is constructed. Kyle Dubas didn't do much at the deadline. He felt the structure of his team was where they wanted to head. So that showed confidence in the group, the guys in the room. Now, a Monday night coming off of a Western swing, but Brian, you and I were talking about it off air. Like, they could be asleep tonight and Tampa could rip them apart, or they could be scared to lose and want to make a statement against a team that they may face in 6 weeks. And to me, you've got an opportunity in your own building to do that. So why not go at it and don't lose any battles? If Zach Hyman and Nazem Kadri have to finish checks or be a little bit grittier on guys like Hedman and say, hey, you know what? 6 weeks, I'm going to be seeing you and I'm going to be in your grill. To me, that's the type of stuff you have control over.
Well, I would think they'd be in more danger of falling asleep if they were playing somebody in the bottom third of the league.
Correct.
You know, and so tonight, I guess the toughest part, and we never seem to have the answer because we probably were all the same and been the same since ever I've known and still is now, is that first period back, for whatever reason, it's like you're dragging a bag of cement behind you. You just can't get going.
It's so true.
Man, it's amazing. You're like, okay, I'm going to sleep different. I'm going to sleep more. I'm going to sleep less. I'm going to eat earlier. I'm going to eat late. And then you go to the rink and you feel terrible. And you're like, damn, it happened again. And I don't know. I think they'll play well tonight. The Calgary-Vegas stuff is awesome. I guess all you need is you need a Kachuk to run over a goalie somewhere and somebody, you know, and he's in there stirring it all up. These teams aren't really built like that, I guess. But I don't know. I enjoy watching these guys play. Like, when the teams are like this, when they're like-minded, there's going to be skill, there'll be speed. The goalies are going to get taxed. And I like it.
Ray, with Nazem Kadri back in the lineup now, they have their three centermen. William Nylander's time in the middle over. Do you like William Nylander with Nazem Kadri on what would be the third line going forward? Because they have a month here to figure out exactly what they want to do. Or does he get another shot with Austin Matthews at some point this year?
I think he gets another shot. The one thing that I believe every coach would like to have is options. And you've got to trust the option. So you're not going to go to it in game three of a playoff series if they haven't played together and you don't have any expectation about what it would be like for a coach. I just don't see any coaches doing that. I think there'll be a stretch here when it's not like the Matthews group is scoring like crazy right now. They had a real good night in Edmonton but didn't get anything for it. But I think there's a time here that you look ahead and you say, okay, what about a do I want Johnsson and Kapanen? Am I going to put them and give them more responsibility than Nylander in a series? Right now, I would say he's probably pretty comfortable with it, but Nylander's, you know, shown enough of a jump to think that maybe there's, you know, more there for him again this year and not waiting till next year when everything gets washed clean. So in a long way, yeah, I think he gets another crack at it. I'd be interested to see what it would be like. And again, it would just be it would be a couple of game look to see what you have, and then you're going to go into that first series against Boston, and you're going to, okay, who are you going to match them up against? You know, it seems, you know, Tavares and Bergeron would play against each other, and then that would leave Matthews to play against Krejci, and I think that's probably the way they would go with that matchup too. Krejci, by the way, Krejci has played. We're talking about one winger. Krejci's played with 13 wingers this year.
He's playing great right now, though, Ray. He is.
19 goals, yeah.
Amazing season. He hasn't had a season like this. I think I read the last time he's in line on pace to break the most points he's had since he was 22. That just doesn't happen anymore. And he's had this. Anybody that's a winger in the Boston organization,
you got it.
He's got it. He's been on his wing sometime. You're the guy. You're the new guy.
Well, you know, just thinking about this while we're talking about it, it's always coming back to Boston. You know, it's always coming back to Boston. In Toronto, it's already started. I'm sure the same thing down there. We all know where this is going. The Habs are 10 points back of Toronto, and Tampa's so far gone. It's just a matter of who's going to have home ice. But it really is a shame that these two teams don't play each other again. And, you know, you just mentioned the Calgary and Vegas. I know the schedule's complicated. It's never easy to really work out. But this is where the NFL, they've got it set up. You know, they got it made in the shade because they don't have to worry about scheduling with their stadiums. And down the stretch, all you do is play divisional rivals. That's all you do is play them.
Right.
And, you know, you got a situation here where, yeah, the Leafs, they got Tampa two more times, you know, and that can build up some animosity, and that can be something, you know, somewhat of a platform for if they meet in the second round, where maybe we can reach back at that and say, okay, the seeds were planted. But, you know, how did Toronto and Boston not have a game late in the season? Like, going back to what happened last year in the playoffs and the likelihood that they would meet again in the playoffs this year, they haven't played each other in months.
I'd love to see how many times division rivals play twice in a week. Or twice in 10 days. It happens all the time early in the year. And then they're, you know, you're down to just a couple of games left over the last 75 games. I wish they played in the division too, man. It would be, I don't know. Those are the best games, and they give you a little jazz for the playoffs. And you're like, man, now these games feel important now. Okay. Look, we can look at what might be in a couple of weeks and I don't know. There must be a reason for it, because I think they would probably be in favor of it too if it worked out.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be must watch TV. Even like Pittsburgh, Columbus, like teams that are battling for playoff spots.
Right.
Like you go head to head. Like there's your 4-point game. There's a difference in playoffs. And then here's your potential first round matchup. Here's your second round matchup. I know you can't predict that at the start of the season, but if you do, especially down the stretch, have that, you know, dreaded rival, you could plan that ahead.
Well, and what you're also doing is you're taking away the travel leading into the playoffs.
Correct.
You know, and again, this is pie-in-the-sky perfect world stuff, and I know it's a computer that generally knocks out all the details here, but they're trying to establish something with this playoff format. You know, they're trying to establish rivalries within the division. Well, why not amplify them before you even get to the playoffs if you can? You know, why not? And I know there's 7 or 8 teams in every division, so it's never going to work out perfectly. But, you know, this Calgary-Vegas is a perfect example. You got these two teams that could meet 7-game series in a month.
Yeah.
Like, people, you don't have to go that far back to find a highlight of Ryan Reeves, you know, skating around like a lunatic, or Matthew Tkachuk running into Marc-Andre Fleury.
Exactly.
And then, you know, basically challenging David Riddick. I mean, that kind of stuff is still going to be in the minds of every fan.
For sure.
Forget fans in Calgary and Vegas. I'm talking league-wide. Everyone's going to remember that in a month.
Yep.
So, you know.
Well, we're not going to get it. We'll enjoy Tampa and Toronto.
No, I hear you. What's the buzz?
Is Ole in the old studio helping out? Or?
You know what? You know what's funny,
right? Belt sander on right now.
Yeah. There's a,
there's a great grinder.
Good visual for you.
There's a great grinder in there that people are actually wondering if that's O working.
I saw the picture and I was like, if O doesn't have a tool belt pulling his pants down off his ass, I don't know if this thing is going off the rails right now.
That only happens when he's either trying to tackle Trady on Trade Center Day or working on the new studio. That's when his pants, somehow they can't stay on his waist. But yeah, he might be over there working. That might be a side gig for him.
Well, I'm looking forward to the new studio. How they're going to make you guys look good in there is going to be amazing. I don't know.
Borderline impossible, I would think. But they're trying. That's why the budget's, you know, being directed towards our appearance. It's a radio show, and they worry about how we look.
That, there seems to be a disconnect.
There's a lot of smoke and mirrors being pumped in there, for sure.
You know you have a brutal look when they're like, man, these guys are on radio, but this can't pass.
We got to clean this up quick.
This has got to change, man. These guys look brutal. Anyway, enjoy the games tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota RAV4 the safest SUV? See for yourself at Maple Toyota. Get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. So we'll get into James Dolan and his scene down at the Garden.
You know, this guy's... What's wrong with this guy?
Was he the owner when you were playing there?
Yes. I mean, but I've never met him. I think I met him once. Like, he wasn't around. When I got traded there, that was, you want to talk about disasters. They were moving people out. That's when Leach got traded, and they moved all these players, and then they brought in a lot of dead weight to dust off at the end of the season. I was a piece of dead wood that they brought in. It was... My defensive pairing, I believe, our number one defensive pairing for that last 6 weeks was Dale Pierrington and Chris McAllister. And there was some...
I have no idea who those two guys are.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I honestly have no idea who those two guys are.
McAllister played in Toronto with us in 99. We made the run of the conference final.
Really?
I believe he was about 6'7".
Yeah. Okay, I remember
left-handed shot.
Yeah. I remember
real good skater.
Yeah, there were some players there that was... I mean, Jamie Lundmark was a good young player we had, but there was... They cleared everyone out. That was Messier's last little bit. And
end of the road.
End of the road
I'm
for
not saying anything about James Dolan. I like going into the MSG. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
MSG is an amazing place. It's just he's a very volatile person.
He's a brutal
owner. Sounds like.
I don't care. He can ban me for life.
Charles Oakley will do it to you.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
He threw Oakley out. He banned Oakley,
I
believe.
In the middle of a game, he threw Charles Oakley out. Like, I mean, you can let him get through the game, and even if you're rattled about whatever he's saying or doing, let it slide and then...
just let it go.
Then give him a note next time you're not welcome back.
Right.
But
yeah,
no.
There's a more subtle way of going about that, I would think. So we'll get to the audio. We'll get into it. What's up with James Dolan down in New York? The Raptors back in action tonight. They smoked the Heat last night. Team record 21 threes. 14-5 now without Kawhi. We believe Kawhi will play tonight. We can't really figure out why he would. Cleveland is terrible. But we'll get into that. Johnny's in here. Noodles, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Rangers. Maybe James Dolan will be up here. Saturday, March 23rd, and every day this week we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue... This NHLer played in parts of three seasons with the Maple Leafs. So this former Leaf was here for parts of three seasons with Toronto.
Oh, MJ was four. We guess MJ every week.
Every single week, MJ.
Like the first. The
how many
first,
clues could
the
there
first
be?
First comment. It's always like
he was undrafted.
It's MJ.
Johnny. It's Johnny. He scored at one point in his Maple Leaf career.
Yeah, that's Johnny.
Gotta be. It makes too much sense. So, yeah, James Dolan, the Knicks are, you know, they're the worst team in the league. It's them and Cleveland. It was Phoenix, but then Phoenix rolls into the Oracle last night and beats Golden State. The Warriors are in a weird spot. They're losing a lot of games right now.
I thought the line was like 17.5.
Mm-hmm.
What was like the plus minus bet? Like you have to bet 900 to win 100?
Yeah, the plus, I didn't see what the odds.
Something like that?
They would have been paying plus 320, plus 350, something like that, I would guess. You know, like if you put 100 down, you would have won $320 on Phoenix outright.
And
maybe
still,
better than that.
That would have been a dumb bet. I would bet on Golden State
every day of the week. Like, yeah. Every day of the week.
Put my house up for it.
Absolutely. Like, do we have the Klay Thompson audio from the post game? Listen to Klay Thompson. This grossed me out last night. Phoenix is one of the two or three worst teams in the league. Golden State is the greatest dynasty, you know, in the past 20 years in the NBA. And this is what Klay Thompson had to say post game after losing to Phoenix at home.
I expect our crowd to be a little more into it, too. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go-around at Oracle. At least you can stand up if someone make a good play, especially in the beginning. We need that energy, especially this time of the year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. So we expect our fans to kind of, you know, bring that from the jump. You can't, I mean, it's like us, though. You can't bring it every night, but still, it helps when it doesn't matter if we're playing the Suns or the Bucks, whoever it is, we need that energy from them because we feed off that.
That is such a gross comment.
They blamed it on the fans?
The fans. That's why they lost to Phoenix at home.
So just to summarize, we can't bring the energy every night. We're the athletes. Yeah. We're the pros. We're the guys getting paid $40 million. Yeah, but you, the fan, who's paying a ticket to get here, we expect it out of you every
night. You got
to
bring
the energy level up.
I mean, come on. It's our last go around at the Oracle.
I mean, we're disinterested because we're looking towards the playoffs. But you'd be interested in us playing the worst team in the league. The optics of that are not
good.
What
a horrible message.
Although I do. So,
that's horrible.
No, but it's indefensible. Though, like, but I will say this. Do you think there's ever an element of success fatigue that kicks into fan bases?
Absolutely.
And maybe not the most traditional, passionate Boston Red Sox, New York Knicks, Toronto Maple Leafs, whatever it might be. But for Golden State, now they must love basketball there. They've not had a dynasty of this ever, like this. And they just are used to them winning all the time. And so the great play that Klay Thompson, he wants everyone to roar for 4 years ago,
right.
Well, they've seen it over and over and over. And while it's still amazing, they just kind of like, we'll wait for the playoffs.
I think there's an element of that.
A little bit. Now, you should not, as a player, come out and call your fans out on it.
No.
But maybe there's... I remember I was doing a game in San Jose.
Yeah.
First place team. Always a tough place to play back in the day. And it was about 80% full. And I'm like,
yeah,
where is everybody?
Yeah. Detroit was famous for that.
And
at the,
Joe, the people said, they're just waiting for the playoffs.
Right.
They have that. They expect them to get 100 points. They expect them to make the playoffs, and then they'll see. So you wonder if Golden State's fans are...
Well, you see that even in the playoffs. Like, I remember when we went down to Boston in 2013 when the Leafs were playing the Bruins. We went down there and did our show down there for a couple of days, and we were there for game one. And this speaks to how spoiled they are in Boston. And this was 6 years ago.
It's kind
now
of a lack of respect. Remember the fans?
They weren't even worried about the first round.
Yeah.
Like, I remember talking to locals, and I'm like, what's the buzz like with the playoffs starting? And they're like, nah, it probably picks up around the second round. Like, whoa.
Well, in that town, the way it's been going.
But that's how spoiled they were.
Exactly.
And you're right. Like, it is success-driven. I've told this story many times, and it wasn't because I'm on record. I'm not an Oilers fan. I grew up in Edmonton, but... You know, when you're 12 years old, yeah, the parade's kicking around every year. You're like, man, go down to the parade. I was like, I'll catch next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, you're going to catch next year's during. That would be like Islanders fans 4 years in a row. You're like, I'll just catch next year because they're going to be in the finals. That success, it does. I think there's a layer of it where the expectation on both sides, the players and the fans, are like, you know, it's not their fault. It's just what they've seen. That's all they know.
Right.
And you know, we were down there. I remember that exact conversation because we were talking off air. We're like, what the hell's this guy talking about? Like, it's the first round of the playoffs. He should be excited. And the guy in his Boston accent is like, yeah, no worries.
Second round, they'll start selling out.
Starts to pick up in the second round.
Yeah. We'll get more calls into the show, you know, buzzing about the Bruins in the second round.
Yeah, because it was kind of, it was half-hearted. I mean, the building was full and the electricity was there, but it wasn't. You know, first round of playoffs here in Toronto, everyone's got a buzz.
And to be fair to them, that year they went to the Cup Final. Was the David Bolin Game 6 winner, I believe,
correct,
against Chicago.
Yeah.
So, they had a scare. They were down 4-1 with 11 minutes to go.
Right.
But, you know, prior to the round, they thought the Leafs don't have a shot. The Bruins are going to roll here. They were, you know, 2 or 3 years removed from their Cup win in 2010.
Yeah, same kind of core.
Same kind of core. So the expectations were high. So, yeah, I do think there is an element of fatigue. But on the opposite end of the spectrum in the NBA world is the Knicks and their fans. And this is a passionate fan base. Every year the ticket prices come out. And not surprisingly, number one and number two happen to be Golden State Warriors because, you know, it's Silicon Valley, it's San Fran, there's a ton of money, and they're the best team in the league. So they charge a fortune. Then the other end is New York, which is, you know, the economic hub of the world,
right,
and there's so much money there, it doesn't matter what kind of product you put forth, people are going to buy tickets. So the Knicks were playing over the weekend, and they suck, and they're the worst team in the league. James Dolan owns the Knicks. He owns Madison Square Garden. He does have the power to kick anybody out. It is a privately run building.
Mm-hmm.
It is his right.
Yeah.
But we have the audio. We're going to play it. I think it's audible here, right, Mullen? We can play it, and people can pick up on it. So after a loss, Dolan's walking out with his crew, and some guy yells over the barrier, "Sell the team," and this is what transpires.
Sell the team!
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
It's an opinion.
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
So he got him kicked out, and reportedly the guy's like just done. He's banned for life. So that's why I watch him on TV, because you're never coming back in the building.
I've always wondered this. If you're banned for life, like,
how do they track that?
But exactly. If Kenny Pagan wants to go to home opener for the Blue Jays, how does he wear a beard and a mustache and walk in? Like, what? How are they going to track it?
I don't think it is trackable.
Facial recognition at the door?
Yeah. I don't think it's traceable. I mean, we talked about that idiot in Birmingham yesterday who ran on the pitch and suckered the captain of Aston Villa. Right. That guy's, needless to say, banned for life. But I would guess in 2 or 3 years, he can probably get back in the building.
That's
Ken Pagan, the same thing. If Kenny wants to roll into the Rogers Center for the home opener, who's going to stop him? You know, I have buddies, like, this used to happen all the time at the casinos. Guys, I have a buddy that blacklisted himself.
Really?
And then every Saturday, he'd be down there on the craps tables. And every day, I'd be there every other weekend. I'm like, aren't you banned? Didn't you ban yourself? He's like, oh, yeah, they don't police that. Like, they're not going to. What are you going to do? You're banned for life. Yeah. What are you really going to do?
You know, what's the security gonna do? Means you can't buy season tickets.
Right.
That's probably what it is. Your name can't. His name's probably.
And
in
if
the
someone sees you and they cross-reference you on the small chance that you come up, then you're gone.
You
get asked to leave.
I could see our buddy Ken Pagan going to a game and somebody ratting him out.
You think someone would do that? Like
yes.
a fan, you're saying,
yes.
not a security guard.
A fan
guard.
Snaps a photo and says, "I thought," and puts it on Twitter and it gets retweeted. Or I could see somebody doing that just because. You know, they think it's funny, or I could see
someone narking on Ken Pagan.
Yes, I could see that.
That's what you're claiming.
Do you? Am I wrong?
I don't. I don't know how many people. I don't think a lot of people would recognize him. I don't know if I could pick him out of the crowd.
I wouldn't be able to.
Like, that's going back a number of years
now. But it is something that. And I know Ken wants it to go away, and
we're not helping. We bring him up.
I know. I feel bad.
Noodle's not doing him any favors.
He writes into the show all the time and listens. I know. But I'm saying, my point is if he wanted to just go and enjoy a baseball game and sit at the Rogers Center, I feel like somebody would be like, that's the guy.
You might be
That's
right.
the guy who was on the front cover of the Toronto Sun, like he had, you know, murdered someone.
Well, and that's, again, like, for some perspective, nobody is suggesting that what he did was the right thing. He deserved to be penalized.
Right.
I don't even have a problem with banning him for life, even if you can't really follow through on it.
Right.
But that's, like, the worst thing that's happened in Toronto sports in terms of fan interaction.
Right.
Then you look at these lunatics over in London, in England who are running on the field.
And suckering a player.
Suckering players.
How does a player... I don't know the rules. Like, I don't know what happens if you... We're playing a hockey game.
They dummied him.
Someone runs up and suckers me. That guy is not making it
to
the security guards. Like,
well,
he's going to get crushed. And so this captain got hit hard. And all the guys ran up, but even before security got there, and they were just kind of like pushing and shoving.
You know
no
why?
One really laid into
you
him.
You know why? It's because if they lay the boots to him, he's somehow going to claim the victim. Didn't that happen in CFL last year?
Someone got hit too hard or something by a player.
A fan ran on, and one of the CFL, I think he was a BC Lion, laid him out. And on this show, I was saying, that idiot deserved it. And there were some bleeding hearts out there going, oh, he just ran on the field. Like, making excuses for that idiot.
Absolutely. When you see a guy get suckered in the face, I don't know what that guy has. Does he have a knife on him?
Exactly.
Does he got a beer bottle on him?
We don't know.
I think you got free reign to do whatever you want, because you can say that you were in danger. And you, at that moment, you kind of were in danger.
You absolutely were.
No.
Yeah, you don't know what he's got with him.
And you're just trying to focus on playing. That idiot in the CFL, I remember somebody ran him. Like, it was...
Defensive back, like, laid him out or something.
Laid him out.
He got speared.
And he hired a lawyer.
He
was like, I got injured. Yeah, you got injured being an idiot.
He got
crushed.
You
deserved it.
If you look at the video, like, he got smoked.
I'm going to pull that video up.
I'm hoping whatever court saw that would say... Get that out of here.
I don't think this guy had
nonsense out of here. I think it actually ended up going through. Like, I don't know if he ever...
I don't remember the end result, but I can't imagine he had a leg to stand on. But it speaks to society.
Because he got taken off in the head.
Right. You know, how litigious people are, that they would be like, meh, even though I'm the biggest idiot in the league and I was blackout and I ran on the field, I'm going to take you to court. Because and he showed up with the neck brace.
Of course,
he was concussed and all that kind of stuff.
I'm watching
this. It's one of the biggest hits of all time.
It is. Well, it's a streaker. It says CFL streaker. And this hit is...
It's Wendell on Bruce Bell. It's Wendell Clark on Bruce Bell. Like, it's a monster hit. Dave Andrechuk will join us at 6:25 to tee up the Leaf Lightning game tonight. We'll get back into the Vladdy injury. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, so we got a bit of an update here on that Suns-Warriors game last night. Shout out to Tyler and Frank, who sent me a DM on Instagram, that Phoenix was paying plus 1,100.
Woo!
Wow.
Plus 1,100. Golden State was minus 1,800. Some guy put 1,800 down on the line thinking, here's an easy $100.
Yeah, $100 bucks and walk away.
I'll just pick up my hunch. And you dumped 1,800 into it.
Wow.
And why wouldn't that number be the number? I mean, it's Golden State against the Suns.
We need to, I'd be curious if anyone out there can, in the last 10 years, if that's not the biggest.
No, it's a soccer team. That was the
Leicester to win the premiership. But in an individual game in the NBA,
yeah,
in the last 10 years, has there been
a bigger underdog win a game outright?
On a line?
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
I can't
for someone
imagine.
Being as bad as Phoenix has been, mm-hmm. and a team as good as Golden State is at home.
That's right. Probably, yeah.
It's probably got to be the biggest.
It's got to be. Because even with Golden State losing some games, they got smoked at home against Boston. They've lost some games. But it's still, they're such a publicly respected team.
Because even when they won 70 games or 72 or 3 games or whatever it was, I don't know if there's any team as bad in the league that year as the Suns have been this year.
If there was, I mean, it's not like they would be much worse.
Much worse.
This is the Bulls losing to the Raptors in Toronto, you know, back in the late 90s.
Yes.
Remember that?
You know why that happened? The Bulls were out to like 7 in the morning.
They had themselves a night to remember.
They even three times when I played for Toronto, I was a massive basketball fan. Michael Jordan forever, like growing up. And so we would play on Saturday nights and have Sunday off. Always. Play at home on Saturday, have Sunday nights off. Or Sundays off. And we'd go out after the game. And three times in those years, the Bulls were playing because they're a big draw. They'd play Sunday afternoon games. And three different times, we were at the same place as Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
So wow. Jordan was out every time, too.
Every time.
Because that's a rarity, apparently. He didn't go out a lot. He enjoyed Toronto.
We were fluid. You remember, like, down below Big Easy, little clubby place.
Oh, yeah.
In the back with his cigars. They didn't drink very much. They just smoked a lot of cigars. Yeah. Ron Harper was always there with him, his right-hand man.
Mm-hmm. And probably women for days.
They were up in, like, an area, even back then, 20 years ago, and they were not around it. And so I'm like, I don't know how you guys play tomorrow. And then one time you go out and get 52, and then... they lost.
They go 72-10. One of those losses.
That's what happens.
It was against the Raptors. All right, Johnny's in here. More MJ stories.
Yes.
Jordan or Mike Johnson.
Yes.
Noodles, I'm Brian Hayes. Dave Andrechuk coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.